Thinking, yeah, this is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. Our topic today is thinking, instant inspiration. And the little red light on my computer here, like the player, is running, and the little green lights over here on the computer are running. So I'm red and green, and the blue background there is very Mexican. Very Mexican. Thinking. What do we do with our thinking heads? We all have the opportunity to think if we wish, but sometimes we don't. And we have the chance to listen, and sometimes we don't. In my experiences here at the ranch, and at the monastery, I have watched my monks with great joy and great delight and great amusement and great confusion as I watch them receiving information. And while they're getting this information, which is extremely specific and important to their particular desires, some little incident is taking place, like the dogs are running after a rabbit, or the cat is out there, and dogs are going after the cat, or something like that, and our attention is withdrawn to that, and we are taken away from the dogs, and from the cats, and from all these things, and we're just drawn away from the beautiful concept of the information we're talking about to something mundane, and certainly that could have taken care of itself. In fact, just at this very instant, we had a similar situation. The propane man filled the tanks with propane, and he brought the bill up to the door, as usual practice, and he stuck it in the door, as usual practice, and we thought perhaps we should go and see if he's wanted anything more. And by the time we stood up to look to see if he wanted something more, he was already walking away, because he delivered his little slip telling how much propane he'd left for us. Now, we allowed ourselves to be distracted by him. We allowed ourselves to have our attention go wandering off into what he was doing and really accomplishing nothing. Why do we do that? Why do we not have our priorities in order so that we are always able to keep our attention where it's going to be the most beneficial for us? Well, we have not trained ourselves. Simple as that. We have not trained ourselves to keep our attention on those things that are important. It's an illustration that I give every once in a while. The mother, her son fell off the cliff, and he grabbed a hold of a rope. And the mother grabbed a hold of the other end of the rope, which was free. And if she hadn't grabbed it, the rope would have just went right down the cliff. So she's holding her son there and wanting to get help. And her nose itches, and she wants to take her finger and scratch her nose. She wants to be distracted from keeping her son from falling off the cliff. But her nose itches terrible. Why does one's nose itch? There's no reason. Yeah, you might say there's some little something in there that's doing this. There's some nerve twitching in there or something like that. But why is it that we are having nerves that are twitching at very important moments in our life when we need to give our full attention to whatever it is we're doing? Why do we have a nerve? Why do we have an itch? Now, is that so important that you scratch that itch on your nose? And is it going to stop itching because you scratch it? Quite likely not. Why is it we have these things that draw us away from the very thing that we think is very important? Is holding that rope to keep her son from falling down into the chasm a very important thing? I would think so. Would she have anything on her mind that would distract her from saving her son's life? I wouldn't think so. Except, perhaps going through her mind are the times that he was a little rascal, when he wasn't very nice, and she felt, go play on the freeway. And she felt like making statements to him. These things go through our mind at times of great stress. And they cause us to be distracted. Now, I know many astronomers. An astronomer is someone who studies the stars. And when he's studying the stars, and he's doing a count. In the old days, they had to count by hand, you know, with their little beads on their rosaries and so forth. They had to keep track of how many stars they were counting. But today, they do it on a computer. It still takes attention. So this fellow is coming to an astronomical conclusion of how many stars are in a given galaxy or in a given whatever. And he is coming to something utterly amazing. But he has to keep his eyes totally on the star body, because the stars have a tendency to change a little bit. They have a tendency to move. And he might be counting them more than once if he's not very careful. And he moves carefully across the quadrant and checking the stars and checking it. Now, why is it that his eye started twinging just at the moment he's doing his most important counting? Why is it? Why is it that his forehead starts sweating and the sweat runs down his eyes in front of his glasses and so on? Why is it? Just at that point. No other point. No, he never has that happen. He can play basketball, football, volleyball, handball, and he never sweats. A little bit under his arm, but he never sweats down his forehead. He never sweats. But here he is at this crucial point in his discovery. It will make a paper for him, and it'll put him on in Scientific American as an outstanding astronomer. And this is happening to him. Now, this is not the first time. And so he loses his concentration, he loses his count, and he makes a guess. And you can't do that. You start all over again. Poor guy. So he's got to start all over again. So he starts all over again, but the enthusiasm isn't there. Second time around, the enthusiasm just isn't there. He's already done it. He's already come pretty close to having his final count of so many trillion zillion that it loses its enthusiasm, you know? And so he never gains his impetus to go on and do it again. Now, we have the three-hour meditation. And in the three-hour meditation, we recommend that you, for the first hour, say, "I am God." And for the second hour, you tell yourself why you can say, "I'm God." What does it mean to be God? I can say I'm God because all is God and everything is God. And wherever I look, God is. And I am God looking out at God. And all these neat things. Okay, for an hour. That's a long one. Then at the end of those 2 hours, then you're supposed to quietly listen to the divine within you that you have just named and just claimed through your two-hour meditation. And listen to that. And listen to what the divine in you has to say. However, and first, if you will do this for 6 months, I guarantee everyone, if you will do it for 6 months without fail, you will be spiritually illumined at the end of that 6 month period or before. You could be spiritually illumined after the first second, but most people haven't got that consciousness. Okay, so every day, 3 hours, from 3 to 6 in the morning, you do the meditation. And then the third hour, you listen. Now, what happens during the third hour is you have not trained yourself to listen inside yourself to that fantastic, dynamic, marvelous experience of being within. You haven't trained yourself to that. And so the tendency is to fall asleep. And so if you fall asleep, you start counting your stars over again. You start right from the first moment of that 6 months. You might be 3 months or 6 months. Which one do we use? 3 months.
Six.
6 months. Okay. You might be at the last hour of the 6 month meditation and you fall asleep. You start again. But you don't have to start again. You're so close. Could the astronomer take a guess on how many stars there were just because he fell asleep for half a second and lost his position? No, you can't do that. You have to go and do it again. Now, this is tough. This is tough. But you see, our thinking, we want to think ourselves out of things. We want to give ourselves an excuse for not doing it properly. We want to give ourselves an excuse for not being perfect. We want to give ourselves an excuse for not doing it the way the program designs it to be done. And that's okay. You can mess up. You can do that. But you will have the same feeling that the astronomer had when he miscounted the stars because he fell asleep for just a moment. You're lying. You're lying. Would you like to go down to the driver's bureau and have your buddy take the test for you and pass? Have your buddy take the driving test for you and pass, and then give you your license? Would you like that? And then would you feel real secure in your driving? If you felt secure in your driving, you would have taken the test yourself. But you don't feel secure in your driving, and you will never, ever, ever in your lifetime feel secure in your driving because you cheated. You cheated on your license. The fellow that we read about from Business Week who was working for this company, what was his name? And as he worked for this company, he said he had an MBA, a master's in business, from Harvard, no less. And he did not. He was excellent. He was excellent. He built the company up to a tremendous height. The company and all of its customers were happy and totally happy. But somebody researched his background and found out that he had lied and he really didn't have that. Well, now, what happened to him? He's out. People don't believe in him. He was great. He was fantastic. Do you know why they don't believe in him? Because now he can't believe in himself. Because he's been found out. You see, it's bad enough having done it and having no one know it. But the moment somebody knows it, and so publicly too now, the moment somebody knows it, he cannot believe in himself anymore because he knows he lied. He knows he lied in the beginning. You see, if our thinking is not straight right from the beginning in everything we do, we will be incompetent to accomplish the things we want to do. Now, if you make a mistake, for instance now, let's take that fellow. He didn't have an MBA. And he went to his boss and he said, "Boss, I've got to tell you something that's on my mind, disturbing me very much." And the boss says, "Oh, what's that?" You know. He says, "Well, I came to you under false colors." "Oh, you're doing a good job for us, whatever it may be." "Yeah, I told you I had an MBA of Harvard, and I don't. I only have a seminar course that I took with them, and it was not really, you know, an MBA from Harvard." And the boss says, "That's serious. That's serious. What do you think we should do about it?" the boss says. Well, he says, "I think that we should correct my resume and put that in there correctly. And now that you know about it and we've corrected my resume, I will feel better about it." "Okay. Well, now, do you want us to continue paying you your same amazing salary?" "Well, if you think that without an MBA, I can do the same work I've been doing and that it's worth that salary you're paying me," he says, "then you probably don't have to reduce my salary." And the boss says, "Well, you're pretty cool. You're pretty cool." And for confessing and taking a chance and losing your job and losing your respect from all of us, I think you deserve a bonus. You are an amazing young man. You've done amazing things for us. I believe in you. Now, I am going to give you 4 hours off every day to attend Harvard and get your MBA. Because I know it's important for you, and I know it's important for us, and I know it's important for our people who are doing business with us to have someone who has a bona fide MBA. So I would like to see you do that. Now, what would happen? What would happen? Of course, you see, he went in on his own before there was static and admitted it, taking a chance on losing his job, losing everything. But he went in and admitted it. Now, would a boss treat him like that? Would a boss treat him? Yes, yes, yes. Would a boss treat someone who admitted something like that with that respect? Surely they would. Because the guy did nothing wrong to the company except to just fudge his credentials. But he did the work, and he was good, and he kept getting salary raises because he was so good. He was getting close to $1 million a year, $975,000 a year. Now, that's pretty nice, you know. Now, you got to be good. Now, his boss has two, three, four, five things to think about. He has to think about, let's be dishonest and say, the man first. And this man's integrity is very important. So he's got to think that this man is somebody he wants to have around. He's really good. And he now knows that he did this and he could never do it again, you know, because he'd always make sure that everything was well checked. And number two, the boss says, if our customers hear that this happened, they will be very unhappy with us, and they'll think we weren't very effective. And rather than doing that, we won't hide it, but we will just say, this is what we're doing. We're sending John to Harvard half day every day to finish his MBA, because he had courses, he had these recognitions, but they were not the full program. And you see, then as soon as you start putting everything out front, nobody can ever blackmail you. Nobody can ever do anything against you, because it's all out in the open. You follow me? Mm. And so there's never a problem. But as soon as you hide anything, then you have to be careful. So you, in your thinking system, if you want to really do the 3-hour meditation and do it so that you get the great benefit from it, then do it for the 6-month program. I have 3 months, 6 months, year, 2-year program on that, because it all depends on the people I'm dealing with. But if you can do it for that 6-month period, 3 times, that is once a day for 3 hours from 3 to 6 for 6 months, you will be illumined beyond imagination, because you are putting the right cause in motion. In the first place, you are establishing your integrity, because you're looking to see who you are. And what do we say first?
I'm number one.
The first thing we say is, I am God, God I am, for 1 solid hour. And then after that, we say why we can say we're God, and that's difficult. That's a challenging thing that works you pretty hard. You repeat a lot of things, but you keep saying why you can say you're God, and it's wonderful. I've done it. I've led seminars with this and shared with people for the several hours, and by the time the second hour is done, everybody's hyper, wow, so great, so great. And then they want to take me home with them so they can finish it up. Then, no, you got to do it yourself. But the big thing is, put these causes in motion for yourself. Think of your personal integrity. Think whatever goals you're going to have for yourself, you're going to live so beautifully and so perfectly that whatever you choose to come away with, it'll be done for you. Yeah, our personal integrity is beyond measure. And the more we start thinking about it now and working on it now, the more we're going to have a more perfect life as we go on. Yep, thinking. So it leads you to so many things. I love you.